Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is none other than ScaryCast, the best internet podcast about the paranormal that you can find. I'm Dr. John Stamey, and I'm so glad to be here. We've got our co-host tonight, and we've got an incredible guest who has been with us before. We had a lot of fun the last time he was here, and I'll tell you all about him. But first of all, the Surgeon General of ScaryCast, the one and only Dr. Trey Donaway. How are you doing tonight, Trey?
I'm doing fine, John, and I got to tell you, I am so excited to talk to Pat. Because I've always heard about Pat, but I've never talked to Pat. It's like when my children were young, they'd say, oh, you're Dr. Dunaway's kid. And that's the way it always was. So when I'm talking with Robin, it's always Robin's husband. But then at a certain point for me, it changed where he says, oh, you're Michael's dad or you're Sally's dad. And all of a sudden it flips around. So tonight we get to talk to Pat directly. That's a cool experience, and I can't wait.
That is going to be a cool
experience,
I'm here. I can tell you that. That's right. All right, and our other co-host from Niagara Falls, Canada. He snowed in and shoveling snow today. None other than Mark Johnston. How are you doing tonight, Mark?
Hey, John. I'm doing well. Hi, everybody. I'm excited for tonight's show because every time you have a Bigfoot kind of themed show, it's always amazing. I always learn something, a thing or two. And Robin especially, she's always been on. So now I'm interested to hear what Pat has to say. I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
That's right. So we have kind of like spilled the beans because tonight Robin McCrae's husband, she is normally with us, but she is on leave tonight because she's not feeling well. And we've got as our special guest her husband, Pat McCrae. Pat, how are you doing tonight? It's so good to have you here tonight.
Well, I'm pretty good, John. Good to be here. Got a lot of experience in this.
I know you do.
The farther you go down the rabbit hole, John, the weirder it gets. And believe me, it gets weird.
Now that is absolutely the truth. And the last time that we
had
you on ScaryCast was you and Robin were Mr. and Mrs. Bigfoot. We talked about your joint experiences. And it was so much fun. It really is. And it's like, I can't believe that. And I said, Robin, can you come talk to us about Bigfoot on Monday night? And she said, well, John, I'm under the weather, but how about Pat? I said, oh, my goodness. And Pat was great. So we've got him tonight. And I'm going to start the questioning because this is an important question for you, Pat. How did you start being a Bigfoot experiencer? Kind of when did it happen, and what were the experiences that you actually had?
Well, it all started in Indiana. A friend of a friend, he went ahead and this person was stating that she had some activity on her property. So I talked to him and I said, well, you know, hey, he came back and I talked about that. And I said, well, hey, you know, I was close enough to where I could drive down there. That's what was exciting about it because I'd never done anything like this before. So I said, well, wouldn't it be neat, you know, go down there and see what's going on. So, I talked to her and she said, it would be okay if I come on the weekends. And I went down there and, took my brother with me. My brother said he saw a face in a tree, believe it or not. Okay. I went down and I heard my first wood knock. Okay? And then, I went down and I took a picture. Months later, didn't realize that something was in the bush. Anyway, subsequent visits down there. Second visit, I think. We pulled up, and that's right when we saw it. It's a huge black cloud, like up in the woods. It was moving. Both of us saw it. I knew she saw it. I go, did you see that? She goes, yeah. She nodded her head. And so her husband was with us. He was a total, utter disbeliever. I mean, he didn't believe in any of this. He thought it was all hogwash. So I went up another time. This is what really got me kicking was, okay, I told him, I said, you know, I want to try something different. Let me go up alone. And when you go up and there's like a little plateau. You go up a little hill and you got a trail that goes in a circle and it goes back to where you came in at. So I went in and I started going around the bend. I got almost to the point where, you know, at the end of that circle. And then I saw it. It was a huge, I mean, I thought I was seeing things, a huge black hole right on my right-hand side. And I'm kind of like, it's kind of heading toward me. I'm sitting there, holy shit. So I'm going and I'm walking. I'm trying to get away from it. And then I saw something shoot out of it. It was like really fast, and it materialized on the road ahead of me, and then it just disappeared. And that and other, you know, visitations up there, it got me, you know, thinking, you know, well, I'll say this one thing. And this is the thing that I was there's a washout up there. And you go up another trail, and you go back, and there's like a huge washout where when it rains, all the water comes down and washes stuff out. There's branches and stuff there. Well, anyway, I was walking up in that area, and I saw something. And I believe it was a little Bigfoot. Anyway, what happened was when I see the foots in the physical world, this little foot was totally black. Just picture yourself outside and you're totally black. But you're moving around, and that's exactly how he was. He was climbing down. I saw his legs, his arms, and he was going down. I saw him walking, and he went down. So I'm sitting there, I go, wow, did I really see that? Because when you're in this stuff, when I first started, I said, well, you know, you think you're going crazy. Because, I mean, even today, I mean, I see stuff, you know, like I was in Michigan, I saw a huge doorway in the side of the highway. I mean, wow. I mean, I told Robin that. I said, well, God, I just saw this on the side of the highway, and you know, it's just like, wow, you know. I mean, where did it come from? It was in Reed City, Michigan. And as far as I'm concerned, up there, it's Bigfoot Bill. But anyway, I contacted my friend that I knew, contacted Robin. I talked to Robin, and that was a literal eye-opening talking to her about all this stuff. And now she told me about the portals and ETs and I'm sitting there, wow, are you kidding? And that was my indoctrination into this world, paranormal world or world of Bigfoot, and you know, and it just keeps going. I mean, you'll have lulls and, you know, things that you see and experience and stuff like it always happens like that. But then all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting at the table. Like one day I was sitting at the table here. I looked outside and I saw Muwaka. I'm pretty sure it was her. And she was, it was just the way she, I got a picture of it too, but the way she looked, and it was almost like shadow form. I'm sitting there, wow, you know. Just so many other you know, when I was in Michigan, I was living there. This is after, you know, the Indiana, and I was going down the road. Still remember the roads, Marble Road. I was working for a delivery company. And this, it was a little, it almost looked like a little dog, but I know it wasn't because it just didn't look. Dogs don't jump across a whole road in one leap. And that's exactly what this little guy did. And then I was at, this is another experience I had. I was in Michigan, and it was in delivery service again, and I pull up, and there he is. I pull up, I look in the back of my, of the window, and he's looking right at me in the face, and I him. And then he kind of, you know, kind of just went off on his own way, and he disappeared right before my eyes. So, I mean, you can call that cloaking. I've tried to kind of put that in my mind, and how in the heck? They told us how they do it, but really, I mean, I think it's more of a, if you look at some pictures and stuff like that, you'll see, it's almost like a perfect camouflage. And they can take leaves and stuff like that, and they'll actually become the leaves. And you'll see eyes and stuff and a face, and just like my brother saw a face in a tree. Now, when somebody will look at that, they'll say, well, it's nothing, you know, and they'll just keep on, and, you know, it's a tree. So that's some of the stuff that's kind of happened. I've got quite a few more experiences and stuff like that. And as you go into this stuff, it just keeps getting kind of weirder and weirder and weirder. So,
well, you know, Pat, it really does. And I want to make a comment about something that happened to me. I had a caricature artist from Columbia, and we had to leave at about 5 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday morning to get to an event. So we left, we were driving along your road to your house, and it's like shadow figures rose up out of the ground, and then they got darker and darker. Then we passed them, and then they kept doing it again, probably about 8 or 9 times. And I called Robin a little bit later, and she said, oh, that was the Bigfoots. They were just checking on you because you were out there so early. Nobody really normally goes out so early. And it was, it was terrifying. I mean, I saw it, and my compatriot, who was my caricature artist, he didn't like it at all. But we kept seeing these shadow figures rise up and fill out. And then we would pass them, and then they would do it again. I'll never forget that. That was not normal, absolutely not normal. So, I mean, you know, it's what it was. So you have a lot of experiences with Bigfoot that are not – they're just not normal. They're not the standard, you know, hey, there's somebody in front of you. They say – they wave at you and go, oh, it's not that.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a point for clarification. When you see images of Bigfoots, you see a hairy humanoid form, and it's got fur. It's the artistic representation. But what you're describing is basically a black silhouette. So if it was completely dark,
there are two different variations, Trey.
Okay.
Now, when I was in Indiana, a lot of times when I see them, and I explained this to Robin, is I'll see like a cookie cutter type black thing, and that's them. And then the little Bigfoot that I saw, he was moving. But he was blacked out, and which I still haven't figured that one out. But
so when you say blacked out, do you mean like they're a silhouette appearance, like an old-time silhouette where you just see there's black?
Yeah, exactly.
Wherever there is.
It's exactly like that, Trey. They're black.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
And I look down, and he's moving.
And you don't see features. You
walking,
don't see eyes,
and I
you
see
don't
him
see
walking,
anything,
but he's totally black.
Gotcha. So it's opaque enough, or if it fades in and out, but it's still an opacity that's black, but you can't see any individual hairs or faces.
No. But I had, like, the little guy in the little guy in Marble Road in Michigan, I knew I could mind speak, so I talked to him after I got home. His dad didn't want me talking to him and stuff, so I said, fine, you know, I won't talk to him. But I saw him. He was jet black fur, and his feet, it just didn't look right. So, and the fact that he jumped across with one leap across the entire road made me think that it wasn't a dog or really anything else. So,
but on that one, you could see it was fur. It just wasn't the silhouette appearance where it was just black. It was this
furry
creature.
Correct. And then the one in the second one I told you about, he was more like a paddy type, you know, way of looking. That's what I explained to Robin. I said, you kind of look like Paddy. And there was one in we stayed
now,
down in Charleston. Yeah, Paddy, you know, the Robinson Gimlin film. Kind of shaped like Paddy. Kind of that type of shape. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not familiar with the Paddy shape.
Oh,
you
don't know what the Gimlin film is?
No.
The Patterson-Gimlin film, it's the only film of a Bigfoot. It's a real Bigfoot, and everybody calls her Patty. But
I didn't know.
You need to look
okay
at it. It's pretty eye-opening. They have some really good ones that they've really cleared it up a bit so you can see
walking
more.
Walking across the visual image, the ambulating.
It was a female breath.
Okay, but now that's three-dimensional. I mean, in appearance, yes. That's not a shadow. It's a three-dimensional creature.
Yeah, I see. I was up in Michigan and I saw a ghost girl, and she was walking down the road, and I'm just like looking at her. I'm sitting there. What in the heck am I looking at? And I'm sitting there, and it was like me drawing somebody. Got the outline and stuff like that, like a charcoal drawing, totally black, but with just fantastic detail, just unbelievable detail. It's like, and she's walking right down the road. I'm sitting there, oh my gosh. You know, and I don't normally see ghosts. I probably have, but I don't even realize it. I mean, but that was one of my first kind of true ghost sightings. It was really, that was in Muskegon, Michigan.
See, Pat, what I'm hearing from you is that people might be seeing a foot, but if they're just looking for the three-dimensional representation that you see in art, that might not be the appearance at all, because it could be the silhouette blackness, the light, where light doesn't penetrate, and it's something in front of your field of vision that would block out light behind it, and that also could be
a foot. That's the whole thing, is there's no experts in this, Trey, at all. And, you know, I don't know. And I'm no expert, so I don't know. I mean, we stayed in Charleston. These are different variations of Bigfoot. Okay, now I was in Charleston. We stayed in Motel 6, and I was walking the dogs in the backyard. And I went back there, and I saw the silhouette in the moonlight. I saw his silhouette, hairy silhouette. He was tall. Okay, and then there may have been two of them, which quite possibly there were. And then, you know, I didn't react. I'm surprised that I didn't. I wasn't scared or anything. But anyway, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll project fear into you. But, you know, a typical person would probably be scared anyway if they've seen something like that. But I saw, I think the second one, I saw his face. It was totally black, shining in the moonlight. Okay. And the big kicker of them all was when I was here and I was watching TV. John's been here before. You know, like where the TV is, John, and you got the window, that's the two windows by the door. And I'm looking out the window, and it's like maybe a weekend or something like that, and I'm sitting there watching TV, and I look over, and there's an absolute see-through Bigfoot looking in the house. Transparent. I could see right through it, but then I could see him, his eyes. He had an afro on his head, and he was looking right inside the house.
Would that suggest some type of cloaking ability?
What?
Would that suggest some type of, like, cloaking ability, the fact that you're seeing through it? Because I've heard that on a few occasions. Some people talk about their ability to kind of go transparent or multidimensional, like almost like a mirage that can appear and disappear.
To explain, so Ryan and Robin, Ryan is my son-in-law, we were going down the road, and this is in our woods over here, and they were looking at a structure. And I was on the right-hand side of the road. I looked out the window, and I'm pretty sure she was correct. So, I mean, I told Robin about it. I'm kind of postulating about, well, what in the heck was that, you know? But I think I was actually seen inside a portal. And I saw a little Bigfoot climbing a tree. It almost looked like a little big spider climbing up a tree and stuff like that. And I began to think of this transparent Bigfoot that I saw at the house. I said, well, you know, I think they're two separate different things, because the one at the house, and you put it right on the head there, Trey, was they cloak. They bend light to hide. But nobody knows how they do it. I mean, you know, I can say it. I mean, because basically, I mean, you can be right in front of a Bigfoot. And I've been grabbed by him when they're, I was in a garage, and his hand went right through the garage, and he grabbed my leg. And it was just, I go, whoa, you know, like that. And but the see-through Bigfoot's cloaking, and then the one in the woods that I saw was a portal. And I saw a little bit of their world. And according to a friend, I'd been to their world like three times. They do have their world.
That makes sense. Since there's so many sightings that are so close to residential areas and cities and things like that, and you always wonder, like, how come they're not more apparent? Well, if there is this, like, portal theory you're talking about, that would make them be able to appear close to civilization and in these, like, where there's a lot of people, right, a lot more easily, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've seen stuff in dreams. They showed me a portal in a dream. It was like a rush hour traffic scene, things going in and out and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just I thought about keeping a diary or a journal, but it didn't work out because it's just so much. I began to reason that there's so much stuff happening that you just couldn't write it all down. I'm being honest.
I think you're just right, Pat.
What's that?
I said, Pat, I think you're 100% right. You wouldn't know what to write down. This is kind of beyond.
Well, you do, but it's just so much stuff happening. Well, a lot of stuff, like in Indiana, a lot of stuff happened at my dad's house. My dad, I think my dad actually saw him there. He said he saw a big dog out. He had kind of dementia, but I think Robin said they were showing themselves to him because, he wouldn't really say anything, but he said he saw a big dog out in the water and stuff like that. And I was like cooking one day, and I've always told you when they want to show themselves, or like they'll break a branch or something like that, I'll be at a job and a branch will break and, they'll, I know it's them. They'll want something. And like I was at a job in Indiana and three female foots came in and I saw them. If you look and you see it's like a color. Not like the one in Indiana where it's totally black, but a color that is vibrating. And you can tell it's vibrating because you can see it. And like at my dad's place, I saw, a dimensional thing floating in the air. I told Robin that. It was vibrating. And everything about all this stuff is vibration and energy. That's all it is. And you try and wrap your head around some of this stuff, and you think about the cloaking and stuff like that. Well, how do they do that? They'll say it and whatever, how they do it, but you'll never figure it out, never in a million years. And, portals and stuff. I mean, you've seen on Star Trek, Stargate SG-1 and stuff like that. It's probably pretty simplistic. But, my thing about the, their structures and stuff like that, I really believe that, when they used the natural trees and stuff like that. And you got to think that Earth has all this energy. If you go out barefoot and you can draw energy from the Earth. Well, all the trees and stuff are already attached to the Earth. So basically they're using, this is my opinion, it's just an opinion, they're using the energy from the Earth to go ahead and do portals and stuff like that. That's my opinion. I mean, I could be wrong because I think about this stuff a lot. And a lot of times it comes to me and say, yeah, that's it. I was listening to a thing on portals and stuff like that. I started thinking, yeah, that makes sense. Because if it's the trees and stuff that is in their structures, and if you touch a structure and you put your hand under some of these, you can actually feel pulsating energy. I'm not kidding you. You can put it right there and you feel it. Now, that's energy from the Earth. Where else can it be coming from? They don't have an Energizer battery there. The earth.
No, they don't.
It's coming from the earth. You know?
Is there possible some ET connection going on here? Like when we think about maybe cryptids in general or like other hominid species that live alongside us in one dimension or another, like the concept of like something alien comes up, and you know there's all those stereotypical descriptions of like the 4 feet tall gray aliens and whatnot. Do you think there's some relationship going on with some of these other these hominid type of species kind of behind the scenes?
Okay, so I'm out and I can mind speak and I can receive stuff too. You know, like I'll be at work and I'll hear stuff and stuff like that in your mind. So I'm out and I get this and it's crystal clear. You know, a lot of times, you know, you think, well, God, did I really hear that? This one, it said, it stated by the cryptid armies, ETs, the government are creating cryptid armies. Okay. Now, that process of creating them, they said, was biogenesis. Okay. And I looked it up, and that is a process. And, you know, it's probably really far advanced and stuff like that, but what the heck is that?
Wow.
Oh, the cat.
Well, that is certainly very interesting, Pat. Please continue.
My opinion is and the opinion of Robin, the ETs create these cryptids. They do. And the government does too. And they release these things on a unsuspecting public. You go out in the woods and you see these things. You know, you go ahead and say, lady sees a T-Rex in her backyard. I mean, come on. I mean, there's no time machine or anything back there. These things are being released. And the process is biogenesis. And they go ahead and they're creating cryptid armies. It's probably, I think, more the ETs. And they probably go off-world. And they've got, I mean, there's probably wars and stuff off-world. I mean, you know, I can just imagine what's going on other planets, you know.
Yeah, I've heard of governments and military making these chimeras, which are like animal-human hybrids, and that's admitted now. Before that was like used to be conspiracy theory, but now it's actually coming out that they are doing it, and even places like China are doing it more hardcore. But I imagine that the military has done some of those things. So what you're saying with these cryptids that were part of military projects released, I could see that as being very valid.
Yeah, my wife knows somebody in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and the Foots call it the beast with no name or something like that, and it was made by the government, and it's got a thing where it can put its head. Okay, you think it's headless, but it's not. What it does is it ducks its head down, and it's got all these armor plating on it, and it's very, very hard to kill. And I can't remember what my wife called it, but she says if you see something like that in the forest, just don't try to approach it or something like that, because once you do, it's just, I guess all bets are off. It just, if you don't seem interested in something, it's not going to seem interested in you. That type of deal, you know.
That makes a lot of sense, Pat. It really does.
But, you know, a lot of lost my train of thought here. A lot of the, you're talking about the, you know, the Bigfoot ET connection and stuff like that. And I think a lot, the Foots have said they're from the stars. And what happened, I got this from my wife, and she's asked Foots, is what happened was, is the ETs, whatever faction it was, and as far as I'm concerned, there's multiple factions here. It's all about a genetic petri dish. But they're supposed to watch humans and stuff like that. They're part human. And they refused to do it after seeing what was happening. So that's the Bigfoot are our brothers. And they're people. And, you know, they laugh, they cry. They have babies and stuff like that. I've got some friends that are Bigfoots. Believe it or not, I do. And kind of a lot to take in, you know. I mean, a lot of times I'll sit here and it's easy to, it's really a relief to talk about this stuff because, I mean, I talk about it with my wife, but anybody on the outside world that has no idea what you're talking about, I think you're crazy. And I've done it before. I've talked to people, and some guy told me, says, do yourself a favor. Don't say anything like that. They'll pull the ambulance in for you, and they'll put you in the funny farm. Well, a lot of people these days just don't want to hear that. They want, you know, I'm going to go to the movies, that type of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know. I mean, but I don't think people are ready, I mean, quite ready for all this. Because if you look at the general population, if you go in the mall and, you know, I wear maybe a Bigfoot shirt to work or something like that, nobody asked me about it. I mean, because when you guys think that really nobody cares about it, if they cared about it, then they'd ask about it. You know what I'm saying? So just people these days just do not really, unless, you know, what happened to me is I you know, like I didn't ask for any of this stuff. It just happened one day in the woods. Now, I was told,
wow.
Believe it or not, I was told by my guide, my Bigfoot guide, that I used to, like in the past life, I was basically, I traveled in space, and I traveled and I moved from dimension to dimension. Robin's, she says I've done this, and it's kind of, I've seen things that would state, well, yeah, I think that's it. And I've gone from dimension to dimension and stuff like that. And
okay.
And this is a lot of weird stuff for you guys, I guess, to hear. But any questions?
When you moved to South Carolina, the location that you and Robin are now in, when one of you sees a foot, does the other one see the foot? Or sometimes is it just restricted to one person or the other?
See, what they can do is you can go ahead, Trey, and they could be standing right in front of you, but the other person won't see them. It's really odd.
Okay.
It's happened quite a few times. And it's more of a, like, with mind speak and stuff like that, it's a directional thing. Now, if I don't want to talk to you, you're not going to hear it in your mind, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, mind speak is just a, I've had a little show with that with John, but that in itself is just, that mind speak is limitless. And I think I've always been able to do that stuff. I always used to, even before any of this stuff happened, I had stuff happen in my life, just weird stuff, you know. I've explained this on other shows and stuff like that. I'll walk into Walmart and I'll look at somebody and just look at them, and then I'll see something happen in his life. I'll see, it's really weird. It'll be like a flash, and it'll come in, and boom, I'll know it instantly, that type of thing. And then I'll come in, and I'll be at Walmart, and I said, well, somebody from work is here. And I'll get this overpowering urge that somebody from work is in Walmart that I know. And sure enough, there they are. So just weird stuff like that, you know. I was watching a football game one time, and I still remember this, the Notre Dame football game. And I my brother was sitting in front of me. I thought in my mind, I said, that ball car is going to intercept that pass and run in for a touchdown. That's exactly what happened. You
need to see if it works with the lottery. That would be a really
cool,
I
know,
demonstration.
Wouldn't that be great?
It would be. It would be.
I don't know if, you know, and it's like, I guess it's like knowing. You ever seen that movie? Oh, I only see it within a certain amount of time or something like that. But, you know, like, it's kind of true, because, like, when I was, like, I was at Taco Bell, I used to work in Indiana, and then I got the feeling that my boss, or it just came through my mind. Just boom, flash right in there. I look across the parking lot, and there he is. You know, it's that type of stuff, you know. And the mind speak just came later. It's just like, it's gotten to the point where, you know, it used to be just like, you know, what did you say? You know, it's like now it's like, I can go ahead and just instantly know without even, and within a millisecond, what somebody's telling me. And
that's
sensitive.
Pat, if you would backtrack just a little bit and explain to a lot of people who don't know what mind speak is, exactly what it is, if you wouldn't mind.
Speak is telepathy. Now, telepathy is communicating with another person through your mind. You know, you see these sci-fi shows and, you know, the aliens are talking to each other through their mind and stuff like that. And me and Robin believe that that's a universal communication between its ETs and even spirits. So I've talked to my dead mom and dad from time to time. I talk to them. And then, you know, you may not believe me, audience, but I have. I mean, you know, and I don't tell a lot of people that. I don't tell my family that, because they just, my mom has asked me repeatedly, can you tell them? You know, I told her, I said, no, because they will not believe me. They won't. They'll run me out of the house.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think the telepathy is a good way to describe mind speak. What I tell people is, back in the 1980s, we had these computer bulletin boards. It's like everybody would
send a message and everybody could see it. And that's a lot about the way MindSpeak works. It's like it's a blank slate. And if you have a question or a comment or whatever, it kind of goes on this blank slate and anyone that is tuned in can hear it or understand it.
Well,
and that's kind of how I describe it.
There's energy, everybody, there's energy in everything. Like I said, this, all this stuff happens. It's energy and vibration. Now, basically when, you know, when I first met Robin, okay, she showed me there was a picture of a hotel, and I heard it too. There were the screams, and there was a fire in the hotel, and the screams, and there's energy in that picture. When you take a picture, okay, and you take a picture of a Bigfoot, okay, and he could be in Timbuktu, Indiana. And I'm here in South Carolina or whatever, and I could sit here, and I told somebody today, I was talking to somebody on Facebook Messenger, I told him, he asked me, he goes, well, I looked at a picture, and I kind of, I talked to the foot that was in the picture. And I he goes, well, how'd you do that? And I said, well, I explained to him, there's energy in every picture. There's energy in everything. So basically what you do is you go ahead and you focus on that picture. And it'll come to you. It always does. You know when it will come to you. And you'll be able to see them and what they're doing. You know, like there was a movie. You guys know the show Gaia. You know, that's it's not a show. It's like a network or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, they had a show on there. It was called Interstellar. Okay, so they had the – it was a show about motherships in deep space. So this is when I first – I could realize I could do some of this stuff. And I said, well, you know, wouldn't it be neat if I went ahead and I focused on that mothership? Let me see what happens. So I did. What I did was I paused – paused the TV and I looked at it there, and then I saw myself traveling through space in my mind, and you know you're going, and then you approach the ship, and you know when you connect with somebody, because I can always tell, like if I'm mind speaking and stuff like that, I can always tell when someone's listening, and someone's listening right now. But, you know, you can always tell that. And you can always tell when you connect with someone. And it's just, you get it. You have to do it to understand it, to get it. So, basically, I connected. There's an ET and a guy with a white beard. He had white hair and a white beard and stuff like that. But that, you know, I thought it was kind of neat, and that's when I first started, you know, kind of doing this stuff. And I mean, the mind speak or telepathy and stuff like that, it's limitless. And if you want to talk to somebody on Mars, you know their name and you know what they look like, you can talk to them. I was at work one time, and I talked to somebody on another planet. He came through and said he needs help. So I talked to him. He wasn't a Bigfoot. This is an ET on another planet.
Okay.
You guys think this is weird?
Final question.
No, this is very – it's like stunning what you're telling us, Pat. It's like, you know, I'm sitting here listening to it, and it's like, wow. And that's what the silence was, at least for me. I was just kind of trying to process all this. This is wonderful.
Well, you know, a lot of times I kind of run out of stuff to say and stuff. And I go ahead. You got a question, you know, Trey?
Yeah. No, it's Mark here. So I can totally empathize with what you're talking about. Like sometimes some precognition happens or some synchronicity event where you think about somebody and then they contact you, somebody you haven't spoken to in years.
Exactly,
that
type
of situation. Or like the cocktail effect where you're in like a crowd of people and you just look at someone and they look immediately at you. It's like they almost felt that feeling of you looking at them. It's called the cocktail room effect. And I've experienced that quite a few occasions as well. But my question to you is how do you get yourself in the right either mental state or physical state, emotional state, to be most receptive to this? Is it something that you almost have to like really calm your mind, like typical meditation, or is there something, an exercise you do to kind of focus your energy in this type of, in mind speak, in this type of thing?
I do nothing. A lot of people, you know, and it may work for them. Meditation does not work for me. I've never meditated ever, and I don't think I ever will. I think a lot of people who meditate, they pick up on all the wrong signals and stuff like that, all the wrong things that they're not supposed to be talking to. If you don't, like, with this, and I asked the Bigfoot, how do you tell who you're talking to? And that's the big thing. You got to know who you're talking to. And it's all by feel. You know, you feel that person. You know how they feel. And that's kind of weird saying it when you're feeling it in your mind. Because we're taught it's a touch thing. You know what I'm saying? Or it's my feelings. And, you know, you just... you're not really reading that. But I don't do anything. I can do this when I'm bone tired. It's a lot harder when I'm really tired to do it. It's just like, you know, I want to go to sleep, you know. But I still, a lot of times when I am tired, you know, it'll just come through like a raging tornado. I mean, it's like, what the heck? You know, I'm really tired and stuff, but this stuff just keeps on and on and on. And it's just like, I'll be going down the road, and I know this is what it was. You hear random thoughts and stuff like that. And you know what, I know what it is. It's other people's thoughts that I'm picking up. It's the only thing it could be. It's not the Bigfoot. You know, if you hear somebody talking about a bill or something like that, that's not a Bigfoot. That's somebody else's thought that you're hearing. You know, you're driving down the road. I get that a lot. You know,
and imagine,
I mean, I'm
you
not
can pick
crazy
up on,
or anything.
I imagine you pick up on people's emotional energy. Like, say, if somebody was holding something in, like an emotion, not expressing it, would you be able to sense that, hey, there's something, like some tension within them?
See, with me... I don't know. I mean, that is off into, I'd say yes, but with me, it's more of a, like, I'll explain it this way. Okay. So I'm at work one day and, I see something in my mind. I see a shotgun blast. This is really kind of weird. But anyway, the shotgun blast and Bigfoot's been shot. Okay. And he's breathing and stuff like that. I can feel that. I can feel his labored breathing, stuff like that. But it does not affect me in the way it's affecting him. You see what I'm saying? But still, it's like, wow, you know, and it's almost like, and they always say this, you're one. When you do things, you need to be one with that. You know, like you're playing piano, you need to be one with the piano. But with this stuff, this telepathy and stuff, you need to, and I always say this, and I never know really how to explain it, just you need to be one with yourself and one with everything else. So you're one with the universe. And you can take it all in. You know what I'm saying? And I really, you know, at the beginning I kept thinking, you know, about, you know, telepathy and stuff like that. I still do from time to time, you know. I think it's pretty wild, and I like to say this, is you never doubt your own ability. And that's with anything, really. And I never, you know, I still do. But the thing is what I, you know, you got to, the biggest thing about this stuff is you got to realize who you're talking to. Because if you don't, it'll get you in the end. Because there's so many things out there that, it's like, you know, talking on the internet. You're talking to somebody, but you know who it is. It says it's Joe, but is it? See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's the same way with Mindspeak. You know, he says he's Joe, or he says he's this guy or that guy or another guy. But is he? You know what I'm saying? So that's where the feel thing comes in. And, you know, I had a little thing with that. I was talking to the Slits sons about it, and he kind of set me straight. He goes, he kind of instructed me. He says, "See, you're doing it now." And I said, "Yeah, you're right." You know, he's trying to tell me that, you know, you do have a way of feeling and to see if that person that you're talking to through telepathy is indeed, in fact, the person that you think you're talking to. Any questions? Any guys?
Lots of questions, but we'll let you continue, okay?
Okay. What, I'm trying to figure out what else to talk about.
I have a question.
Okay.
You're saying that there's people who might be pretending to be something else. Are you suggesting that there's some malevolent type of entities, either physical or in conscious form, that are misrepresenting themselves or purposely misguiding us to some degree?
Well, I'll explain it this way. So I'm asleep, and there's a zone that you get into when you're asleep, and it's I'm asleep, but I'm almost awake. You're in that zone, okay? And I see something in the zone, and I look, and I'm like, it's like I see this dark cloud. I knew it was something bad.
Now, Pat, this Trey, when you say you saw this, did you see it in a dream, or were you awake enough to see it
in my zone.
Physical reality?
If you're awake.
Okay.
You're awake, but then you're asleep. It's really I call it the zone. And
are your eyelids open or closed?
They're closed.
Okay,
but I see it. And there
right.
It is, and yes, there are bad things, Trey, and they will mess up your life. So what happened with me was I woke up, and then they were just chattering away, and I'm just sitting there, you know, I don't freak out or anything. It's just, you know, you hear the stuff all the time. A lot of times you just ignore it, but this time I didn't. So, because they wouldn't stop, and so I went ahead and yes, you can call on the Archangel Michael to give you a hand, and I did, and he took care of whatever it was. I never heard from him again. So, ladies and gents, if you want some help, the Archangel Michael will help you if you call upon him.
That's pretty handy to know.
Yes, it is. Now, there is a time...
Now, this is John Trey. Pat, I've got a quick question. Have you ever had an experience with the Archangel Michael? Did he has helped you? Or is this something you've just heard from other people?
No, that's exactly what happened. I was in my car going down the road, and they were chatting away, and, you know, they wouldn't leave. You know, it's just irritating. So I called upon the Archangel Michael, and he tells to them, they're gone. I never heard from him again, John, because he took care of it.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. If you call upon
the
Archangel Michael, he will help you. That's a good thing to know. Very good.
But there was a time where I
was in the zone again. I woke up and something was talking in my head. And it was saying, okay, now I want you to say this and that, and, you know, and da-da-da-da. I didn't, because I'm smarter than that. And what was going on was you're trying to put a spell on us by having me say a certain phrase. So if I've woken up and I've had I've seen them. Midgets tell me they're going to kill me, midget aliens. I've had been wide awake. And a reptilian said he was going to kill me. You know, and the thing is what really did I do to you? You know, probably, I don't know. This is the whole thing about all this. I mean, I don't know what I did. So, I mean, is it because I'm human? You know? And part of it is, you know, that I can use telepathy and stuff like that, and a lot of this stuff comes through, and a lot of stuff, you know, maybe it's a dream state. I don't know, you know.
Maybe they don't like us because we're kind of, maybe they don't like us like these in-between state kind of entities, because when we're in that zone like you're talking about, maybe our presence is so powerful that they don't like it. They don't like the conscious energy we're bringing in. So maybe that's why we have these would be called like demons or something in between that actively trying to mess with us.
That's a good point. I remember this. I looked at the clock. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was just kind of waking up, and I noticed something that I was being carried to my bed. Carried. Don't ask me how I knew. It was just, I knew it. I was in my zone, and I'm being carried, and something set me on the bed and it kissed me on the cheek. And the minute I'm set down, sometimes I wake up immediately. I get up and I know. You know, but that was not really an eye-opener, but, you know, that was one for kind of the books type thing that I just like, wow, you know. And just like I said, it's like, as you get deeper into the stuff, the weirder it gets. And
have you ever experienced sleep paralysis?
No. I used to be in Indiana. I used to be strangled at night by something. I'd wake up choking and stuff like that. I knew something was strangling me because there was no way. It doesn't happen anymore. I'm saying it was inside the house that we're living in, and it would strangle me every once in a while. And I didn't realize it back then. I kind of hinted at it, but I just wasn't in this stuff back then, you know. I mean, I just didn't realize back, way back when. I realized that I had kind of the stuff happening to me. I said, well, you know, I would just sit here and say, well, you know, that'll happen again. I mean, it just like happens. I told myself it happens infrequently. I mean, you know, it's kind of neat when it happens, and, you know, just wait till the next event or something like that, you know, that type of thing. So,
yeah.
What'd you say?
I said, yeah, and you know what, Pat? What you had to say tonight has been very, very interesting. And I was wondering, because we're getting kind of close to our time to be done, would you be able to come back in another couple of weeks, even when Robin is a co-host? We'd love to hear you relate some of your stories. They're very, very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll come back.
Well, good. Well, I'll check out with you. And before we go tonight, I'd like to ask, first of all, Trey, and then Mark, if you got any final questions for Pat. So, Trey, any final questions for our guest of honor tonight?
Pat, when you met Robin, did your ability to interpret, to experience, did that change? Did it increase, decrease, stay the same? Were you on a natural progression and you just continued on that track, or did Robin help potentiate some of the changes? Because I've never talked to anybody quite like Robin.
She, what she did for me was, I believe this. She told me, she says, you've always had this. And I believe it. I always had the ability to do telepathy. I always had it. But a lot of people just don't realize it. And she helped me kind of talk foots and, you know, realize that basically I wasn't crazy, one, because for a little bit there, you know, you kind of, when you get involved in this stuff, it's like, you know, am I fucking nuts or what? Excuse my French. Am I nuts or what? You know? You think you're going crazy, and not so much now, because I have not seen it all. I've seen enough to know that I'm not crazy, you know. And I think back a lot about all that's happened to me, and I know I'm not crazy. A lot of people, you know, they'll listen to the show and, well, that guy's nuts, you know, but I don't think so. I'm not nuts. I've experienced everything that I told you. It's all true.
Well, fascinating. Thanks for coming on tonight, Pat.
Yeah, no problem.
Absolutely. And Mark, do you have a question for Trey? I mean, for Pat?
Yeah, Pat. Do you have anywhere online, any YouTube channels or Facebook pages, groups or anything where I can come check out some stuff you post or some of your experience?
Well, I do have. John is in the group. You're in the group, aren't you, John?
Yep.
Bigfoot group, Bigfoot Investigations. Go ahead. My are you on Facebook? It's Patrick Joseph McCray is my name. And go ahead, hit me up, and then I'll hit you up on the group it's my group. It's a small group. I don't have too many people in it. I like it like that. You know, when you start getting a lot of people in the groups, you can't keep control of it. You get just too many people that cause trouble. So this is just
okay,
like, you know, you can say anything.
But you do have some really great stuff on there, and I mean, about every other day I see something really engaging. So, you know, first of all, thanks for putting me in the group, and Mark and Trey, please feel free to join us. And I guess what I'll say is tonight we hope Robin gets better and she's back with us next week, the Queen of Scary Cast. And Pat, we've had a wonderful time talking to you, and so thank you so much for being with us.
No problem. Anytime.
Thank
you,
Pat.
All right. Well, we
will.
Yep, and we'll see everybody next week, and I'll do a call around tomorrow with our co-hosts and chat, and we'll see. We got some great things coming up on Scary Cast. We really do. So first of all, thanks to our guest, Pat McCray, Patrick Joseph McCray on Facebook, and our co-hosts, Trey Donaway, Dr. Trey Donaway, the Surgeon General of Scary Cast, and Mark Johnston. And we've had a great time, and we'll see everybody next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and on WLSC AM and FM, Loris, Myrtle Beach, and Conway. We'll see everybody there midnight on Saturday night on the one, the only, the best paranormal show around, Scary Cast. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Night.